I want to talk about changing tides. And, you know, we live in, I don't know if you know this, I feel like I'm talking about the weather here, but, you know, in case you didn't know, we live in some pretty exciting days. And, you know, the tides are changing, and they're just things are on the move. There's this constant influx or change, and you know, sometimes it's helter-skelter, or it's just crazy trying to figure out what's going on. And it's just easy to feel left behind. I don't know how old you used to have to get to be, feel where you felt like you was left behind, but it's more younger and younger all the time. And as the days get more exciting for knowledgeable believers, I believe it's exciting for not believers. I don't know that the times are exciting for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are really distressed and afraid of what's going on. But for Christians, it's an exciting time, at least for the knowledgeable believers. And the reason I say knowledgeable is because there's a lot of Christians who are carnal and they're just as confused as the world is. They don't know what's going on. And they're like babes. And so even though they're Christians and they're safe, you know, they don't know they're safe. And so they're just as confused as the world is, and they don't know what's going on, and they don't know if they're going to live or die and all those kinds of things. And, you know, it's kind of like you need to set them down and say, okay, you just take a breath, slow down, you're safe, you're going to be okay. God loves you, trust me, you're okay. And so there are believers like that, but non-believers of the world, oh my gosh, I don't even know how they get up every day and move and function and you know, get through it. I mean, some of them start out in panic in the morning and they finish with panic at nighttime. And then they lay on their bed with panic and they just confuse and they can't seem to make anything work and it's not getting better. So for them, it seems like things are becoming more confusing. But that's not our story, praise God, as Christians. For us, troubles in the world are like a fireworks display. I mean, you know, fireworks are beautiful. That's good news to us. But troubling days are for us, they're not a disaster. But for most people, troubling times are a disaster. When they're going through troubled times, they feel like it's the pits. It's like the end of life. It's like they don't know. They just wonder, man, when is this going to pass? And that's kind of bad because the days become more troubling. They experience less and less peaceful moments. Not that they never have peace, but it's just like one thing after another keeps coming out. And so they're having more trouble coping today than at any time, I believe, in history. But that's not the story for Christians. For us, it just that you know, troubling days. When we see that, that just means good things. That's just you just have to understand how to interpret that. You know, for those who don't know what's going on, they think it's World War III. For those who don't have in faith in Jesus, it is World War III. I would not want to be in the world without Jesus Christ as my Savior, without some sort of backup, some sort of support underneath me. If I had to just go by the things that I see and my own abilities and what I could figure out practically, man, I would just be a mess. You just will scrape me up off the floor and put me out there in the dumpster because I would be no good. No, you don't want to do that. For Christians, though, it's a different story. For Christians, I try to think of these analogies, and so I kind of use some of my own life experiences. But for Christians, it's like being at home with your older brother when your parents are gone. And you know, you're in charge of your little brother and sister, and your older brother has decided to torment you. And he's going to spend the whole night thumping on you. And it's not good. And then suddenly you hear the car pull up in the driveway. And it turns out that your parents are coming home. And suddenly your brother's eyes get big. So I don't know why he wasn't anticipating this moment, but suddenly it dawns on him that he is not exactly doing what he should be doing. And fear begins to grip him, and he stops tormenting you all of a sudden, and he begins to offer you some perks. Some payments so that you won't tell mom and dad. And then he runs off to hide. And in the world, I mean, that's just kind of how it is for Christians. You know, in the world, you know, things are upside down for Christians. We are the heirs. We are the only ones that are entitled to the good things of God. And we're entitled to all the perks. But it seems like those in the world, they're just ripping us off. It's all the thieves and the wicked people and the crooks and the liars and the selfish people. They're just ripping us off. And they're causing all kinds of sorts of pandemonium, doing all kinds of things that distress us, that we don't like, that aren't fair. And they're ruining things. But here's the deal. See, Jesus is coming. And I mean, the car is pulling up in the driveway. And in some ways, you see, I believe the world senses that. Whether they're able to actually think about it or not, I don't know. But that kind of feeling is beginning to overtake them. You know, the devil, see, he's in a panic. And we're about ready to receive our reward. But we're going to get a reward, but he's not going to get a reward. And we're living in that moment. I believe that we're living in that moment that's, you know, right in the world when that panic is setting in. Otherwise, when people begin to realize that their goose has been cooked. I don't think they're fully there, but I think they're getting there slowly. I think there's still some hope in there. They're thinking they can turn it around. Maybe they can stop global warming, whatever it is. They can get a handle on this stuff, you know. Maybe there's still time to get a handle on their relationship, but panic's beginning to set in. And how many of you know when panic sets in people's lives, they don't act the best? You know, sometimes it's hard to get anything out of your kids when they're really in one of those fussed up, crazy moods. And, you know, you can't console them. You can't make them think straight. They're just like, whew. And I decided to pick on kids instead of wives. But used to be wives, but we can fuss about the wives. But now it's the wives fussing about the husbands. And so, you know, I believe we're living in that moment when the world is, beginning to fall into that panic, you know, because they realize that things aren't going to work for them. And they're just, you know, they're in that place where they're just about ready to give up. But we know that we're just about ready to get rewarded. So they're starting to panic, but yet we're starting to get excited about our reward that's coming. And there's just a little bit of time between those two. You know, between the when the world falls all apart and then Jesus shows up and gives us our reward. And so for us, you know, it's a sign that our struggles are almost over. Getting beat up by our big brother, it's almost over. And we're just about ready to get our reward. And it's coming. And it's going to be fantastic. And the records are going to be straightened out. Faith tells us to get ready. Fear tells you to run and hide. And so, you know, how we see, how we interpret this all determines on how we feel about our future. You know, are you about to be destroyed? You know, are you about to lose everything, or are you about ready to gain everything? Are you about ready to receive the payment that's due you? And, you know, just, you know, it depends how you look at that. And, you know, where you stand in that equation, so to speak. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 2. This is Jesus speaking. He says, he replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." And, you know, he was condemning them. But there's this expectation, you know, we should be able to interpret the signs of the times. We ought to be able to know what's going on. We're not those called to be confused and in the dark, you know, and running around in a panic, not knowing what's going to happen. That's not supposed to be us. I don't know how to emphasize enough to you that Jesus is coming soon. And if you believe that, you should be excited. But here's the deal. If you're not, you know, when we talk about, you know, Jesus coming soon, if that scares you or for some reason you feel that that's like, oh, man, I don't know what, you know, how you feel about it or whatever it is, you know, but if you're not excited about it, you need to figure that out. You need to figure out why. How come I'm not excited? How come I'm a Christian and I'm not excited about Jesus coming back? What's going on there? Is there some sort of disconnect from the reality that God has given to us? What prevents you from being excited about your coming inheritance? You know, for the scores to be settled. And what's stopping you from being? I can't answer that question for you. I mean, that's where you have to search your heart. That's where you got to pray. You got to ask Jesus, what's going on here? I mean, it could be any number of things. And then when he reveals that to you, then you have a duty to, you know, start taking care of that. Maybe your interests are just on the wrong things. You know, you're thinking if Jesus comes back, you won't get that new speedboat this summer. I don't know. It could actually be something like that. What prevents you from being excited about your coming inheritance? God's desire for you is for you to be confident on the day of judgment. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants his children, he wants us to be confident that when he comes back, that's a good thing. For you, judgment means reward. And if you're not excited, then I just want to encourage you, don't ignore that. Make it a priority to figure out why you're not excited. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment." God wants us to have confidence on the day of judgment. He says, in this world, we are like Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus was righteous and he was doing everything right, but he wasn't getting the rewards for being right? God wants you to have confidence in the day of judgment. It's distressing for Christians to live in the center of ungodliness. I understand that. I don't relish the things that go on around in my world either. There's horrible things that happen. Horrible things happen to my friends, people I love. Horrible things just happen in nations. I mean, just all around the world. There's bad stuff going on, and I hate that stuff. For a moment, here's the deal. I mean, this is just the truth of it. For a moment, ungodliness is going to be the rage. It's just going to seem like ungodliness is in charge. That ungodliness has won the battle. Just give up because your side lost. The bad guys won. Jesus and all he stood for, out. The devil and all he stood for, in. But you just need to realize that that's just a moment. It's really Satan's last protest. Here's the deal, you see, he knows judgment is close. You see, some of us, we might be confused about it. We may not know what our destiny is, but he knows what his destiny is. And he knows it's closing in fast. And the quicker, the sooner it's ready to come, I mean, the more panicked he gets. Remember how all those devils got panicked when Jesus showed up? There was like, I don't know how many of them, a legion of them in this man. And they were saying, "Oh, have you come to torment us before our time?" So Jesus ends up casting them in some pigs and stuff. But anyway, but there's a time set for them, and they know their time is short, and so they're not excited about what's coming. But I'm just telling you, our experience in this world shouldn't be that of a demon. We shouldn't feel like the world's closing in on us, about ready to strangle us. We shouldn't be thinking that, you know, we just got a couple days before we're cast into the pit of hell. And trouble and agony and all those things. We know that shouldn't be our reality. That's the devil's reality. That's how he feels, and he is lashing. It's like catching a wild animal, like catching a fish, Jesse. Wheeling them in, they're like, they do not want to be pulled out of the water. So that's why things are just getting so crazy. All the devils, I don't know how many there are on the face of the earth, they're getting crazy. And they work through people. And so here's the deal. You see, to keep your head during these times, I mean, who wants to live in the most exciting time there is for Christians and just be tormented the whole time? Not realize you got something going on good. Never be able to have a smile or some excitement because you couldn't see it. All you could do is see is what was happening to the devil. That's just sad. To keep your head during these times requires extreme patience. And so we need each other because it's hard to do on our own. We are the victors. But sometimes, often, we just need reminded of that. Have you ever started into one of those little spirals where you first you kind of start to give up on something and you decide then you start giving up on something more and you just go down to a dark spot? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm not explaining it well, but you know, you can go into one of those spots. But then have you ever, I don't know, been praising the Lord and suddenly the lights come on and suddenly you feel, whoa, wait a minute, things are, you know, you start feeling different about it? And so, you know, to have those positive moments, to have those right kind of attitudes, to have that correct perspective, that's just not something as carnal creatures that's going to be easy for us to hold on to. Because there's so much disturbance around us, and so it becomes harder and harder for us to keep our collective mind, our minds right. And that's why we need each other, so we can get around each other. I thank God for, you know, because I'm over here all the time, and sometimes I'm not always real encouraged, and I don't plan to be discouraged, but somebody will come in and they'll start sharing. You know, Les asked people to share tonight, but somebody will come in and start sharing, talking about stuff, and next thing you know, I'm all happy. And we got together and we talked ourselves happy. Instead of talking ourselves sad, you know, that you get Rich and Bob and I and some of the other guys together, some of the gals join us sometimes, I mean, we just get happy. And you know, and we just need that experience. We're the victors, and when we're feeling insane, sometimes we just kind of start to feel insane. We need a word, and we need an anointed word from God of encouragement, something that pulls us back from the brink. There's a lot of people that need pulled back from the brink a lot of the times. And that's why God gives us each other. Hopefully in your bad moment, so the person next to you is having a good moment. And we share those things. We could encourage one another. And it brings us to the right perspective. That we should be those who are celebrating. I want to read from 2 Peter, verse 2, 6 and 9. It says this. It says, if he condemned, talking about God, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. How many of you know Lot lived in Sodom? And that city was a putrid city. And yet he lived there and worked there and bought groceries there and went to the markets there and hung with those people. He had to live there. And it's full of ungodly people. And that place got burnt. It got fried, okay? It got sizzled. But before it happened, God brought Lot out of there. He was rescued from it. And so it says, if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed, he didn't like living in that place either. It was horrible for him. If he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. That means he has us here to be salt and light. You know, he has us, you know, we're the beacons, we're the last hope that there is for humanity. If there is a fish in the sea to be caught, if there's someone to be saved, if there's someone to find the light that's left out there, we're the ones that are going to help them find that. We're the tools, we're the instruments. When we're gone, it's all over. And so we live in this time when things are really dark, when things are really lawless, when things are getting gross. when right is being called wrong and wrong's being called right. I mean, everything's just getting, it's just getting nutty, crazy. It's always been crazy, but man, it's really getting crazy. And that's what we live. We put up with it every day. You don't want to live in the city that Lot lived in. None of us do. You don't want to live in a mess. None of us get up every day and say, gosh, I'm just so glad I get to live in a mess where everything's messed up. My friends' lives are messed up. Things are messed up at work. My parents are messed up. My brother, sister, my aunt, my uncles, everyone I know is messed up. Politics are all messed up. City's messed up. Everything's just messed up. Messed up. And gosh, I'm already ready to go out and shoot myself. I mean, no one's asking for that, especially Christians. We're not asking for that kind of prospect. You know, you want a good life. You know, you want the world to be at peace. You know, you want the people you love and your neighbors to be healthy. You want everyone to be obedient to Christ. You know, you want people to be successful in their marriages. You know, you don't want, you know, to hear about all the troubles they're having. But here's the deal, it isn't. And you can't control it. You can't make everything right for your neighbors. You can't even make everything right for the people in your family that you love. You can't make your neighbor serve God. You can't make everyone come to church. You can't make everyone give up their lust and their selfishness and all the things they do. People want to kill babies. You feel powerless, and they want to make sex slaves of anyone they can and of others. And people want to rid God from all mention. And if that isn't bad enough, that's what the evil people do. Then you have the Christian people that you love who are supposed to be your friends who said they were Christians, and they're giving up by the boatload. Your family's dysfunctional, and your friends are abandoning you, and you find yourself experiencing torment, the torment of Lot, a righteous man. I hope I didn't get you all depressed. But here's what I want to tell you. God has it under control. He knows how to take care of you. You were specifically and specially selected to live in this season. And He will give you the gifts and everything you need to make it through with flying colors. He knows how to take care of you. What you need to understand is that God's just being patient. There's just someone out there, some knucklehead that just won't quite say yes to Jesus yet. Or that someone hasn't just got to share them the gospel to them, and they're just, you know, and Jesus isn't willing to lose them. So He just says, okay, can you guys just hold out for another day? Just stay true another day. Just come to church on Sunday night and just worship me another night. Can you just do that another day? Can you just do that one more time? Because there's still this one person I'm looking for. And it's necessary that you guys stay there. If I come back now, it'll be good for you, but it'll be bad for them. So He's just being patient, okay? He's not mad at us. He's not mad at you. He's not trying to punish you. He's just being patient because of those that He loves that have yet to come into the kingdom. And so we just need to know what our mission is and what our purpose is in this day and this hour. I mean, He's coming back. He's coming with the prize. Many people are going to come out from Sodom. And you know there's going to be a point where a lot of people, they're going to have their fill of sin. Not everyone, but a lot of them are just going to be filled up. They're just going to meet. They're going to have their come to Jesus moment. They're just going to look up one day and say, okay, you know what? My dad and mom are right. This place is a mess. And they're just going to be tired of it. And they're just going to want to sell out to Jesus. They're going to be tired of being lukewarm. They're just going to be tired of all that stuff. They're just going to want Jesus. And their eyes are going to be open. And some of them are going to be Christians who are out there right now. And like a prodigal son, you know, they're going to come home. We need to be there for them and witnessing to them. Many will come and receive Jesus. Okay, so here's the deal. We need to be ready for them in heart, in attitude, in every way. And so, you know, it looks like all may be lost. I understand that. It's supposed to look that way, but it isn't. This is our great time. This is our great season. It's the beginning of our victory. I mean, it's the time when things are going to be straightened out. It may feel like you're being robbed. It may look like that for a moment, but you're not. You're the ones being blessed. Many are frightened. They know they're clutching on to something dead and they can't let go of it. And I don't know, maybe you're one of them, but come, let us help you. Let's help each other. Let us help each other find the way to peace. And that's why we're having these special praise service tonight. We're just attempting, to do our part, to keep our lights lit, to keep our flame burning. It's a time for us to connect with Jesus. It's a time to hear Him say, "I love you." Some people don't hear that in their hearts, even though they're Christians and saved. They're so out of tune, they don't actually hear the words come from Jesus, "I love you." That's what happens when you praise Jesus. Start praising Jesus, and suddenly you feel His presence, and you go, "Okay, you know what? He does love me. It seems like He's gone, and now He seems like He's close. He lifts you up." I encourage you to open your heart tonight. Let's start it out this sermon. Start out this. I didn't even have my notes. I encourage you to open your heart tonight, and Jesus has come. Jesus wants to say something to you. And if He doesn't say something to you through the things that I'm saying, then maybe He can say something while you're worshiping Him. And so as we continue to sing a few more songs here, I don't know how long we're going to go, but take the liberty, to get your business with God done. Let's talk about, if you need to come to the altar and pray or kneel to seat or just sit, whatever, just take your liberty and get your hearts close to God. If you need to let go of some things, then get that done. And come kneel to altar. If you need to be loved, come and let us love on you. I believe there's someone here that I need to pray for. You need to come. I have a word for you. And so we're just going to sing some songs and continue to praise Him. And I hope that you're encouraged. God bless. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for Your goodness, for Your mercies. Father, I thank You that You're not finished with us, but that You're just getting started. I thank You for the good things that are going to happen in Your kingdom through Abundant Life Family Church and many places like this. We thank You for the heart of Your children. We'd be encouraged in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.